Welcome back to our expectation series. Today we're going to do the second lesson of our mini series on horizontal expectations. That's people to people expectations. And we want to remind ourselves what is the one major expectation that Jesus gave to his disciples and to us, his present day disciples. And we found that last week in John 13:34 from the New Living. It says, "I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other." And we said, and we always want to remind ourselves, that that is an impossible command apart from his power living within us. The Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, is the only way that we'll ever be able to obey that. But we want to talk some more about what that looks like. And one of our great resources in Scripture is the Apostle Paul, because he takes this passage that Jesus gave right before he went to the cross, and he expounds on it, and he gives us lots of good principles and strategies on it. And Paul wrote in Galatians that the whole law is summed up in that one commandment to love one another. And he writes to the Ephesians church, and he gives them some good ways that they can express their love, attitudes and actions. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 to start off today, and then we'll talk about negotiating expectations. That's our title. So it'll be Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1, and I've just taken several clumps out of this long chapter for us to look at today. So this is also from the New Living. It says, "Lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. He makes the whole body fit together, and it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all part of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." So, wow, Paul gives us a lot of handles and a lot of ways to think about what love looks like. And I want to apply these today in the context of our relationships and how we set expectations, how we communicate them, and how we negotiate them. So we want to, we talked about being aware of what we value last week, being aware of the differences in people. And with that in mind, we want to, first of all, look at the aspect of our relational expectations as being attainable. You know, God's given us a high call here. He tells us to love, and then Paul goes on to explain what that means to have humility, patience, acceptance, unity, harmony. And the only way we can have all those going at the same time is to have expectations of our people that are attainable, that are doable. And when we're thinking about what we expect, we want to consider, how hard is this that I'm asking of another person? And how often am I asking this of them? Is this just something that happens on occasion? Or is this something that I'm asking on a daily basis? And is it biblical? And we want to also think of all the things in that relationship that we're expecting? Are we in total asking more of them than is really reasonable? And keeping in mind their strengths and weaknesses, this may not be something a person that you're in relationship has a capacity to do, even if you desire it or think you need it very badly. What we're asking of them needs to be fair in that we want to be expecting things of others that we would be willing to do for them if we were in the same position as they're in. So also keep in mind what type relationship you're in. Obviously, you're going to expect less from those in a more casual relationship. Although it's not to say it's improper. I mean, you do have expectations of those. But normally, these astronomical expectations that we tend to mount up, we tend to do that to the people closest to us. Let me give a little bit of a silly example of that. There was a season in my marriage where I kind of thought Bob should take on some responsibility as our social chairman as far as having other couples to do things with and planning activities for us and that kind of thing. And guys, let me just tell you, this was not a good expectation to put on him. One reason is he's not geared that way. He's an introvert, and he would be perfectly happy having very little social content in his life. And then secondly, the man has got a busy law practice, and he's trying to keep up with a family. And between those two things, he really doesn't have a lot of room or a lot of brain space to be thinking up fun social activities. So that would be something that is not a reasonable or attainable expectation in that particular situation. Next, let's be sure that our expectations of people are explainable. And this is where so many people get into trouble with expectations. We, first of all, have been saying all along that even in our expectations with God, we're often not really clear what it is we're expecting. We know when somebody doesn't live up to the way we want them to do it. But on the front end, sometimes it's kind of hard to know. So we do want to be thinking about what it is we're exactly expecting. And we want to put that in a form that's easy to understand and to communicate. We want to be willing to have that conversation and not just expect the people that we care about to be mind readers. For some reason, we think that makes it more special when they do it without us asking them, but that's really not a very wise approach. I ran across in my research this quote by a gentleman named Bill McRae. He said this: "Someone has concluded that 80% of our expectations are assumed, never really expressed. Consider for a moment one of your expectations. How many expectations have you actually expressed and discussed?" And then he goes on to say, "You see, most are assumed." So I believe that Mr. McRae is probably accurate, that we don't express the majority of the things we're expecting. And I think it would be so helpful to just say, instead of just waiting till somebody doesn't do something and then have relational strain come into the relationship. So we want to be willing to actually have those conversations and to put the people we're in a relationship with in the loop. And when we do that, let's be sure to keep it simple. Let's just deal with one topic per conversation. I mean, maybe two if they're closely related expectations, but we don't want to overwhelm people with what is probably going to feel like a list of demands if we tell them all our expectations at one time. So let's communicate those time by time or topic by topic. I had a situation happen with a close friend of mine several years ago, and she did such a great job with this. We had been on a walk one day, and she said to me, "Kathy, I miss you." And I'm kind of thinking, that's a weird thing to say when you've just spent an hour or more with me. But I said, "Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you." I really wasn't hearing what she was trying to say to me. And then she said, "You know, I really feel behind with you. Like, we're not really caught up." And I said, "Yeah, isn't that the great thing about being such good friends? We never catch up." And so she was brave enough to just continue to press in and say, "You know what I would really like? Would you think about maybe us choosing like one day a week to get together or to talk on the phone? That would really bless me." And I thought, well, how great. Of course I would love to do that. But it took me 3 different attempts by my friend for me to actually get what it was. And she needed to be pretty specific with me in order for me to understand what she was asking. And so I think that that's a really good story, because we will probably have to persevere, because people aren't used to conversations like that. And then lastly, our expectations need to be negotiable. We need to think about them like almost like we're negotiating a contract, in the sense that both parties need to have an opportunity to speak. Both parties need to be able to offer their views, their objections, their preferences, the ways they need to adjust, you know, the various aspects of the topic being discussed. And one thing that I found to be extraordinarily helpful in terms of a strategy is to be sure that we frame our expectations in an I sentence, like, "I would like, it would bless me if you," you know, that kind of thing. So you are taking ownership of your expectations, your wants, your needs, instead of pointing at the other person and saying, "It really bothers me when you don't," or "I really hate it when you don't," or "I really wish you would, you know, stop." Those kind of things tend to make people defensive, and that tends to make the conversation not go very well. And the other people tend to dig their heels in a little bit and resist what you're asking of them. So let's always take ownership that way. And I wanted to mention that we will have some things that are non-negotiables in our relationships. List on your page, marriage as an example. Well, a non-negotiable for most marriages is that you'll be faithful, that you'll have, you know, the trait of fidelity. Well, maybe in a friendship, you have certain boundaries, or with your children, you have certain boundaries that are non-negotiable. You want to know what those are, and you want to make sure they know too. As far as negotiating, I had an example from the workplace. My last job was as a part-time floating pharmacist, and it was fun because I would go from store to store and just fill in and get to be around lots of different people. But it was an unpredictable job in ways. I didn't know my schedule in advance. And so after I'd been with them a couple years, I had the opportunity to take on a position as sort of the dedicated floater, so to speak, or the dedicated substitute at one particular store. And I liked the idea of that because I would know, you know, what my schedule was, and I would kind of develop more of a, you know, solid work community and everything. But I did have the foresight to say, let me think and pray about that. And when I did, what I realized was I would be put on the schedule just like any other pharmacist in that store, and that would mean weekends and holidays. And so I realized, that's one of the reasons I'm working part-time, is so that I don't have to work on those times. So I came back to them and said, you know, I'd really love to have this position, but I don't want to work weekends and holidays. And I thought, you know, that's the kiss of death. They'll never hire me for this position. But they did. And so, as James tells us in his letter, sometimes we have not because we ask not. I think if you'll find that you approach your people without being demanding and just say, hey, this is something I'd like to see happen in our relationship, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. So I hope that'll help you as you think about expectations and talking about those with the people in your life. Now, once you do that, guess what's going to happen? I'm moving to point B on your outline, strained relationships. There's going to be strain that comes in because change is inevitable. So just about the time you've kind of felt like you've got your expectations all sorted out in a relationship, something will change. The season will change. Somebody will have a baby. Somebody will get married. Somebody will move away or whatever. And it'll mean that is going to change what you can expect from that person. And so that can be really stressful unless you anticipate and preemptively adjust your expectations. So we want to think about that in advance. And if we haven't done that, we'll do what we said in the last lesson. We'll have unmet expectations, which will lead to a relational stress. You'll feel that in your emotions first, sometimes before you actually mentally recognize it. So if you're the person who didn't get your expectations met, some of the emotions you might be experiencing are anger, sadness, rejection, feeling left out or unappreciated. If you were the person that didn't meet somebody's expectations, you may be feeling shame. You may be feeling afraid of conflict or afraid of rejection or feeling unworthy. So those are some places that we can go, oh, oops, we have some expectation adjusting to do here. I can tell that by the emotions I'm feeling. That happened to me not long ago. My son Jackson lives out of state, and he doesn't get to come home very often. He comes home maybe 4 times a year or something like that. And the last visit, he wanted to bring a guest. And of course I said, of course, bring a guest. That's so fine. And, you know, we were glad to have them. But I noticed in the weeks preceding Jackson's visit that I was making a few little snarky remarks. And then I was making a few little eye-rolly kind of expressions. And I thought, what is up with that? After I did that for about the 4th or 5th time. And what I realized when I sat down with the Lord is that Jackson had changed up the way we do family, and that having another person in the mix was going to make it different than what I expect family time to be like. So I didn't need to have a conversation with Jackson about that. Jackson didn't do anything wrong, but I did need to adjust my expectations and realize that I'm not going to get my boy all to myself. And, you know, I need to do the work necessary to be okay with that. And as soon as we notice any kind of negative emotions like that, we want to deal with it quickly. Paul told us that. Don't let the sun go down on your anger or whatever emotion you're experiencing. So sometimes we tend to want to talk about it before we've actually processed it all the way through. I think the first place to go is to go to Jesus. And Jesus invites us to do that. He says in Matthew 6:33 Amplified, first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, that attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. So you hear what Jesus is saying there. He's saying, get your heart in alignment with God's expectations of you. Get back into His expectation of loving. And, you know, handle anything that's not in line with that. And then you'll be better prepared to make the adjustments horizontally. So there's another advantage of sitting with Jesus first is that Paul writes in the first chapter of Ephesians that he will give us a spirit of wisdom and insight and understanding. Who knows best besides Jesus what love looks like? Jesus knows the best. And so if we will take the time to deal with our expectations and then adjust them with the Lord, we will really be getting a head start in keeping the strain from really costing us too much in our relationship. Sometimes we can just handle painful, strainful expectations that are unmet or that are shaken up or disrupted by just forgiving. Paul goes on in chapter 4 of Ephesians, those verses there, 31 and 32, to tell us, in the Amplified Version, it says it this way: let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, perpetual animosity, resentment, strife, fault finding, and slander be put away from you, along with every kind of malice, all spitefulness, verbal abuse, malevolence. Be kind and helpful to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, forgiving one another freely and readily, just as God in Christ also forgave you. So you hear the order of that. Paul is saying, look at your emotions. Deal with your negative emotions. Be willing to, in obedience to God, forgive, whether that person deserves it or not. Just like we don't deserve God's forgiveness, but he gives it to us anyway. So we can sometimes just settle a matter by forgiving. I actually, in that little visit scenario with Jackson, I went through the process of forgiving Jackson for inviting a guest. I forgave the guest for accepting his invitation, and I forgave God for answering my prayer that Jackson would have a community of people around him and place where he's living that he moved not that long ago. So I know that sounds silly. I know God doesn't need forgiving, but emotionally I just needed to go through that process to get myself in a better place. And it was very helpful. In fact, that's all that needed to happen. Now, in our most intimate relationships, it's probably going to be there that we have the most of these conversations. If it's somebody that you live with, even if it's a small thing, if it happens often enough, it can create tension on the line. My little example for that is clutter on the kitchen counter. I don't do well with that. And so for me to let my family know, look, I need this counter space to cook your dinner. And if you wouldn't mind finding a hook for your book bag or another place to put your newspapers, etc., then I'll really be blessed by that. And so, again, that's just a very small thing, but if it happens often enough, it can make you resentful. A big thing that hopefully doesn't happen really often is lying. Let's say your child gets caught in a lie. Now, that may not have happened before, but you want to be sure that you address something as important as that, even though it doesn't happen often. So we want to just take the risk involved, and that risk has a name. It's vulnerability. And I want to give you a quote from a guy named Kyle Benson, who does a lot of counseling on relationships. It says, speaking our feelings and fears requires a willingness to be vulnerable. Vulnerability is courageous. It's a willingness to drop your shield and expose the unguarded underbelly of your fears, doubts, and insecurities. So, yeah, we're putting ourselves out there. It takes courage to say what it is we want, what it is we need, what it is that's not working well for us. But I think if you'll do it in the spirit of benefiting your relationship and with a heart of love and a heart of understanding, you'll find that it's going to really enhance how things go. Paul gives us a beautiful example of this in his relationship with the Christians in the church at Corinth. He had communicated to them his expectations in the letter 1 Corinthians, and they didn't get it. They didn't comply. And so Paul had to write them another letter and re-communicate with them. And listen to what he said. I mean, I thought this was just so, I don't know, just very well done. And I can't imagine anybody not responding well to this. But in 2 Corinthians 6:13, and this is the J.B. Phillips translation, it says this: "Oh, our dear friends in Corinth, we are hiding nothing from you, and our hearts are absolutely open to you. Any stiffness between us must be on your side, for we assure you there is none on ours. Do reward me with the same complete candor." So, I think what he was doing is just inviting them once again to try to reach a place of understanding and harmony. And he was doing it with an open heart that basically was saying, "I love you and I want more in our relationship. And I'm willing to be vulnerable to let you know that." So he wasn't demanding, but he was leaving the door open for them to experience better relationship. And that's kind of the whole point of us having those conversations when the relationship gets strained. Now, let's talk about maintaining expectations when you have unmet expectation that keeps on happening. It's something that kind of turns into like a little bit of a habit or a pattern. And the first option is the best one, and that's to renegotiate. We tend to not want to do that because we think, you know, what's wrong with them? I've already said. But sometimes it's just a matter of really maybe true communication didn't happen, you know, both giving of information and the receiving and understanding of it. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why you might have to go back and have another conversation. And we want to do that without bringing the whole person or the whole relationship to the table. You want to just focus in on the one area in question, and that'll give you the greatest degree of success if you'll approach it that way. Unfortunately, the second option is probably the one that a lot of Christians take as their routine, and that's to apologize and try harder. And it's just, it seems easier that way. I don't have to have another hard conversation. It's kind of embarrassing. I don't want to be too demanding. I can just suck this up and let it go. And that is true. Sometimes you can. But you want to really make sure if something is repeated and repeated that you're not letting offenses build up and you're not letting negative emotions build up. Because what's going to happen is if you keep letting that happen, is you're probably going to get pretty tired of it. And that may lead you to the third option, which is settle for less. Instead of having a tough conversation and showing the person how much the relationship means to you, you mean enough to me for me to take this risky, vulnerable step of opening this hard conversation. What we tend to do is chicken out and just back off. We expect less, and sometimes we judge the hooey out of people, and we just kind of write them off or lop them off, and they never really, you know, what happened to Kathy? She used to be my friend. She used to be, you know, seem way more interested in me than she is now. You know, that's just not fair to people to do that. So we want to give people the benefit of the doubt. And we also want to understand that there's going to be some differences in a relationship that are just going to be a natural byproduct of the relationship and the two parties involved. Sometimes there are expectations that will never be met in that relationship. And if that's the case, we want to be aware of that. And we want to prayerfully learn by the grace of God to accept that, especially if this is a high call from the Lord. And The option I didn't list on your page is that of terminating a relationship. And we'll talk about some of those things about when reconciliation is not possible in next week's lesson. But today, let's just stick with this negotiating part. Because I want us all to not break off relationships if at all possible. And so we want to be willing to negotiate and negotiate again. And what that's going to mean is giving and taking, and the word submission comes to mind. Submitting. Paul kind of sums a lot of these relational expectations up in the next chapter. Ephesians 5:21 New Living says it this way: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so he's talking about all relationships here. This is a big overarching summary statement that he's making. And the word submit there is a word that we don't really like in our world today. But what it means, when you think of what it means, it's a really wonderful word. It means in the Greek, voluntary yielding in love. Voluntary yielding in love. How great does it feel when somebody does that for you? And how great does it feel when you have the opportunity to do that for somebody you love? It's really a great way to live. So we want to do that for the people that are in our lives. And you know, one of the things that we can also do for them is to do our hard work of self-examination. Because sometimes what we think is an expectations problem really goes deeper than that. So before we finish up about negotiating expectations, part of what you may end up telling someone when there's strained expectations is that, oh, I figured out that I had something going on inside of me that was impacting the situation. And that's really helpful in intimacy, as well as giving the relationship a chance to grow, because they would understand you better. We know that God is doing internal work in us. And if we're, you know, in a relationship with another person, he's doing it in them too. And so sometimes it's more than just about an expectation. It's about the work that God's doing in our hearts. And I've always said people are part of the process. And a great verse for that is Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So yes, people are a great motivator. And God can use them powerfully. A second way that we want to look deeper is considering, am I trying to live something over again or recreate something from my past? You know, we all carry our past inside of us, and a lot of times it's expressed subconsciously. And so we want to look out for trying to recreate a situation possibly from our childhood or young adulthood. Let's say you had a sister relationship that was problematic, and you kind of end up reliving that through your girlfriends. Sometimes we do get redemption through our Christian friends, but we want to know that's what we're doing, and we don't want to put too much responsibility on that other person. And sort of along that same line is the third thing, and that's what I call false hope, or another word for that is idolatry, putting your hope in something that can never deliver. So if we are putting false hope on a person, if we're believing the other person in our relationship is our ticket to happiness or our ticket to the future that we want, guys, that's not what we want to do. It says in Jonah 2:8, those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. Basically, the only person that can fulfill our future and our heart's desires is God. And we don't want to cut him off by worshiping a person or putting them in the too elevated of a position. Now, a fourth thing that I want to mention that is a deeper issue than just a simple expectation, and that is getting into sort of a transactional, almost debtor type situation. It's a mindset. It's a way of viewing expectations that is really harmful. And what it basically is believing that somebody owes you something. Think about this. If somebody comes up to you and says, here's the $10 I borrowed from you, you may say thank you, but really you're not appreciating that as a like some big gesture on their part. You're thinking, of course they gave me that $10 because they owe it to me. I mean, you don't treat a debt the same way you treat a gift. And so we want to look at the parts of people that they bring to us as gifts. We want to appreciate what they bring to the relationship and not think, well, you're supposed to, or you ought to, or you owe me. So Paul, again, gives us a really wonderful principle in Romans 13:8, says it this way from the Amplified: owe nothing to anyone except for to love and to seek the best for one another. For he who unselfishly loves his neighbor has fulfilled the essence of the law relating to one's fellow man. I thought that was a fabulous verse. And then judging. Oh my goodness. Judging leads to all sorts of problems in relationships. It will block the flow of love quicker than just about anything. Judging and unforgiveness would be the top two that keep us from being able to love well. And sometimes we just judge the process of, why do we have to talk about this again? Why can't they just get it? Why do we have to be emotional? Why do we have to be vulnerable? Sometimes we just don't have the right attitude about these things that the Lord is asking of us. You know, we think it's the other person asking it, but we've read today all these verses about the high standard God's calling us to in terms of loving. And so we don't want to judge that. So let me share one more verse from Paul. He writes in Romans 14:13, and this is from the Message: forget about deciding what's right for each other. Here's what you need to be concerned about: that you don't get in the way of someone else, making life more difficult than it already is. I'm convinced, Jesus convinced me, that everything as it is in itself is holy. We, of course, by the way we treat it or talk about it, can contaminate it. So we want to consider that everything on somebody else's side of the fence is holy ground. That's between them and God. And definitely stay away from judgment. If the Lord shows you that, you'll see that there's going to be a lot of positive change in your relationships quickly as you let go of it. So I wanted to just cover some of those basic ways of formulating and communicating and negotiating our expectations. And I wanted to give you an example from my own life that happened years ago. And it happened with a girlfriend of mine. She was actually the friend of a friend. We were introduced, and she was really strong in an area where I'm very weak, and that is in pursuing. And she started pursuing me to not just be friends of friends, but to be actually friends. And so I found that to be a very pleasant thing, and I appreciated her vulnerability in that. I found that we connected on a couple of topics, and so, you know, enjoyed my time with this girl. We both liked to exercise. We both loved Jesus. I found her to be a good conversationalist, and she seemed to be able to set good boundaries and say what she wanted and what she didn't prefer. And I could see this friendship going far. And I'm just going to confess to you all, my expectations kind of mounted up quickly, and that got me in trouble. And so we continued on in that vein of exercising some together and talking on the phone some together, and it was going great. And then I really got a closer look at the differences in our lives when we took on a project together. And what that meant was we were spending a lot more time together, and we were running into what you might call, I guess, a wider variety of topics. And what I found was we differed on a lot of those, and I had let my expectations run away with me too early. And so what I've discovered during this project was, you know, I do care what people think, but I, 9 out of 10 times, that is not going to have much of an impact on how I make a decision. That's just not a huge motivator for me. But it turned out it was a pretty big motivator in my friend's life. And then we had differences in terms of our privacy meter. You know, some people are willing to tell all to all people, and some people want to be very guarded. We were widely different on that. And then this project required us to gather people, and it was very interesting how extremely different we were on who and what type of people we wanted to include on this project. And that was kind of where the rub came. And it wasn't just tension that I was feeling on my insides, but it actually came to a head in a really hard and painful conversation. And what I discovered in that conversation was, wow, not only are we way different than I thought we were, but we handle our differences very differently. And so I just want to mention several of the ways that that was the case. Well, you know, we read earlier, don't let the sun go down on your anger. I'm a big believer in getting stuff handled and handled quickly. And I'm quick in just about everything. I think I've told you guys before. So I wanted to get this matter settled. I wanted closure. And my friend needed more time. She said she needed room to be mad and to feel her feelings. And she was not about to have a hard conversation anytime soon. I was so frustrated. But, you know, in retrospect, I think I probably should not have been as frustrated about that and should have, you know, been more more understanding in terms of how people process at different rates. I definitely wanted to have us forgive one another. That's so important to me. And I was really willing to do what I had read and heard taught before, and that is own my part and ask for forgiveness and apologize. So, I mean, if it's 5%, if my part is 5% or 95%, I want to do that. So I did. I apologized. And guess what I expected? You got it. I expected an apology in return. And guess what happened? My expectations were never met. I never did get an apology, even all these years later. I also wanted to get to the place in the relationship where, to our credit, we had, I think, 4 different conversations to try to settle this matter. And I'm sad to tell you that we never really did satisfactorily settle it, but I wanted to be able to come away from there saying, you know what, let's agree to disagree. And, you know, so where that left me was really doing the bulk of my work on expectations with Jesus. And so, you know, I did take my hurt feelings, because my feelings were hurt. I was so disappointed. The conversation had been hurtful, and then it was hurtful that I had thought I had a really close friend coming my way, and it didn't look like that was the case after all. So the Lord was really sweet to comfort me. And I needed some direction from him on what do I do now, Lord? I'm not really sure what to do at this point. And so I prayed a ton about it. And I did ask that apology of her, but I also did that longer process of forgiving. We'll talk about how forgiving is often a process. I took the time I needed to really get all of it settled in my heart before God. And then I did what we often call is a redefine. What I thought was going to be one of my closest friendships, or at least a close friendship, turned out that we're really just casual friends. But that's not something to judge. That is something that that has value. And so I'm very happy to report to you that this person is still a friend of mine. Now, we don't interact as often as we once did. And we don't talk about some of the same subjects, you know, at a deep level like we once did. But the Lord showed me something. He reminded me of something I'd heard many years ago that came in really handy. And that's this: that when you have strain in a relationship, you want to back up until love can flow. And so that's what happened. We didn't really settle the difference that we had, but I think we both came to the place of agreeing to disagree and have found a stance in our relationship that allows us to continue to care for one another. And I am genuinely thankful for what she brings to my life. So I thought that would be helpful. And let me just conclude with this last verse that Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. And this is the J.B. Phillips translation. It says, "Now, if your experience of Christ's encouragement and love means anything to you, if you have known something of the fellowship of His Spirit and all that it means in kindness and deep sympathy, do make my best hope for you come true. Live together in harmony. Live together in love, as though you had only one mind and one spirit between you. Never act from motives of rivalry or personal vanity, but in humility think more of each other than you do of yourselves. None of you should think only of his own affairs, but should learn to see things from the other people's point of view." So let's ask the Lord to make all these things true of us. Father, we come before you now, and we just thank you so much for all these wonderful instructions in your word. Thank you for showing us what love looks like through the Apostle Paul. Father, we know that this is an impossible goal, to love like this apart from you. So Lord, we just want to trust you with our relationships. We want to ask you to give us the power and the desire and the grace to live this out to greater and greater degree. Father, give us the courage to have difficult conversations and to set boundaries. Lord, that's not easy to do, but Father, we want to do that because it's going to be more loving and it's going to enrich our relationship. So we pray that you would just give us the wisdom and the words to do that. Lord, I do also pray for each of us, if we have underlying issues that need to be looked at, that you would reveal those to us as we make ourselves available to you. Just search our hearts and show us those things as well. And Lord, we do just pray blessings on every relationship represented by the people that are hearing this message today. And we just ask this all in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.